All right. Oh, boy, I tell you, God has given me revelation as we speak. Let me just write this down because I want to make sure I tell you. Flow. Praise God. Amen. All right, we're talking on subject of training for reigning. And we're in this area called seeing the invisible. Seeing the invisible. And this is seeing the invisible number something. I'll start reading at verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. You know, excuse me. I was just looking at that. And he said, I made thee a father of many nations. You know, that is a pretty awesome destiny. Now, he didn't say he made him father of three kids. He said he made him a father of many nations. Phew. You know, I tell people all the time, I said, you know, the Bible says in Isaiah 55, he says, your thoughts are not my thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways and your ways are my thoughts and your thoughts. So God is constantly trying to get us to improve upon our thinking. Hey, think about it. Think about how many negative scripts talk to us during the daytime or during the course of a day, saying that we can't do something, we don't look right, we don't smell right, can't act right, we're not accepted here, we can't do this, we can't go there, we're gonna go broke, we kids are not gonna obey. I mean, think of all these negative tapes. You know, I cancel them negative thought patterns right now in the name of Jesus. I cancel every one of them. I mean, you'd be surprised. People, they'll see me up here and they say, Pastor looked at me. Now he must not like me. He must. I got to look at somebody. I mean, where am I going to look? Well, you know, the Lord would say that. I got to look at somebody, man. And you need to get over it. Because that's a negative thought pattern, a script that's trying to talk to you and tell you can't do something. And guess what? If you buy it, you can't. You'll fail at it every time. If you buy it, you can't buy it. So the Word of God is designed to get that out. It's designed to purge you and reset your thinking or reprogram your mind to make it so that constantly tapes of I can, I will, it'll be all right, I'm accepted, and so forth. Constantly those tapes are playing. And when those tapes are playing, people are happy. They're happy, they can encourage you, and so forth. People, those tapes not playing, they can't encourage anybody. You know, the only thing they'll see is where you messed up. And they'll try to remind you of it. You know? So, I'm just saying. I mean, I've seen guys who really, and I'm not going on looks and so forth, but these guys, they're not that good looking at all. And I mean, the people that they hooked up with, I mean, it was obvious that was a gift from God. And so. Let me get back to this. Okay. Now, but But really, you talk to them guys, they think they're the last thing that ever got happening in this earth. They are it. They said, you know, she can't resist all this, man. How she gonna resist it? And I said, man, you got some work to do, homeboy. You got some work to do. Okay, but anyway. So it's what do you think about yourself, see? That's all I'm saying. I'm saying people can, okay, all right, okay, all right. So, all right, so back here. So we're talking about seeing the invisible. Now, let me start from where I am now. Y'all got me off on something here before I even got started, man. God has made us a certain way. And the Bible says in Joel chapter 2 that God will restore to us the years that the cankerworm has eaten, caterpillar. And this restoration is more than just your life. It's the restoration, of course, of humanity, taking us back to something. And if you go back to Adam's life, because that's where we're going back to, the garden, we're going back and seeing how Adam lived and how Adam was. And God said, let there be light, let there be firmament, let there be trees, whatever have you. And the image of God that was inside of him, he spoke that image out with words. And that image came out, and that image was. In other words, the Holy Ghost was out there, Holy Ghost waiting on that image that was delivered through the container of the word, and that light was. Whatever God says was. Now, God didn't produce Adam that way, because Adam wasn't born out of an image inside of God. He came out of God and was a reproduction of God. That's on a whole lot higher level. Because God is going to give Adam dominion or ownership over all the stuff he created. So now that is very important, because now Adam has the same DNA in him that God has. And so now it says over in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 8, it said that God formed man of the dust of the ground, and man became, and breathed into his nostrils, and man became a living soul, a speaking spirit like God. So now, he has got all these things that God has about him. Now over in Genesis chapter 1, put that up there please, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. And it says, and God blessed them, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, and God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over every fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now, these were words. He blessed them. Now, when he did that, he was not using words to communicate. He was using words to transfer power. Okay, have you ever talked with God? When you talk with God, how does God talk to you? Because he does talk. Hello. So God talks, and when he speaks, he is a spirit. And the Bible says that in John chapter 4, verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. So he is a spirit. Now, when he talks to you, he talks to your spirit. Okay? Now, he can, of course, use things to communicate with you. For example, Gideon. God sent an angel and told Gideon, "Hey, my mighty man of valor, I'm going to use you to set Israel free." What did Gideon do? Who, me? And he told Gideon, "I'm going to let you set Israel free as one man." And Gideon said, "Wait a minute. Now, how do I know you're telling me the truth? In other words, am I sure, did God really send you?" Now, Gideon started making excuses for his own inadequacy to be able to do this. Because up until this time, Gideon was operating purely out of his own ability. But now he's getting reconnected with God. He's getting by the covenant of God. You and I got reconnected with God by being born of the Spirit. Okay? So all of a sudden we got a bunch of new potential. So Gideon said, "I'll tell you what, I'm going to do something. I'm going to make this ground and put this fleece on it." Fleece is, I guess, wool from a sheep or something made into cloth, whatever. "And when I wake up in the morning, make that fleece dry and the ground around it wet. Then I know is you talking to me." Well, God did that. Gideon said, "Well, let me check this out one more time." Now, notice what happens. As long as you're in the senses, one, you can be deceived. Secondly, it's hard to receive from God. See, this is your inheritance. What is? The whole earth. But how are you trying to receive it? Well, we're trying to feel it first. We're trying to have three dogs barking a star-spangled banner outside my window on Tuesday night at 12 midnight. I got to have something, see. But that's not the way you grow in God, and that's not the way you receive from God. That everything God has for your life has already been put up for you in the realm of the eternal. It is beyond decay. And it's for you. Every home you need, every vacation, every car, every healing, every deliverance, every victory, every job, every business, every plan, every wisdom, it's already been put up. He's seen your whole life and put it all up there. Now, it takes a spiritual person to receive spiritual things. And once you receive it in the Spirit, God can deliver it practically. That's the way it works. Okay. So Gideon go fleece God. And I'm saying a lot of people are trying to fleece him. "Didn't you feel God?" Now, wait a minute. Come on now. And looking for something outside to tell them that God is doing what he said. But the Bible says, "Let God be true." Come on now. "And every man be a liar." You got what I'm saying? If it doesn't line up with God, it is a lie. Now, it may exist, but lies exist all the time. My point to you is that we can take God's word, because God's word not only is God, but it comes with virtue, meaning that wherever it goes, the power of it goes with it. So whatever Jesus could do in this earth, he left his word. His word can do exactly what he did. His word can heal you. His word can raise the dead. His word can get you your finances fixed. His word can cancel your debt. His word can fix your hair. His word can, whatever can do. It's amen to this.
Amen.
The problem is, we're trying to somehow, intellectually, accept this and debate it, whether this is really true. And a lot of the church has been organized intellectuals. Right in the devil's house. He is waiting on you. Because he wants you to get down there in a level where you don't have to use 1 ounce of faith, that you going to go strictly by your senses, and he will deceive you before 3 o'clock in the morning.
Amen.
He'll make you think you're sick when you are well. You better hear what I'm saying. He'll make you think you're broke when a relative just passed and a man is trying to find you to give you $1 million. He'll make you, come on now, I'm talking about what he will do. Now, what happened? It came in on Job's life. And what did Job do? Job started praying for his kids. And what happened? He started praying the same prayer over and over again. And what happened with that? I was just with a gentleman that was taking us back to the airport in Brazil. Oh, I didn't show that tape, did I? No, I didn't. Well, come back Wednesday night. All right. And he said something. He said, you know, something happened in my job, and the man wanted me to take some money, and I didn't take it, and he fired me for it. I said, okay. Now, that's wrong. He said, but I've been trying to believe for God a job ever since. Been 4.5 years now. He said, I've just been praying and praying and praying. Yeah. All right. Without revelation, there is no restoration. Okay? Now watch me. The Bible didn't tell you to pray and pray and pray and pray. Now, I'm not talking about intercessory prayer. I'm talking about praying for petition prayer. It says, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you have received them, and then you'll have them. Now, if you believe you've received it, why would you pray again? So I began to kind of point out some little things in the Bible. Now, understand. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. And he says when you do ask, you ask amiss, out of line with the word. God is not moving. He said, let God be true. You're not going to change him.
Amen.
He won't change for anybody. People on the deathbed tried to change him, wouldn't change. He loves us. Trying to get this thing to us. Now here's Job. Now he's praying. Okay? And Job is praying this and praying this and praying this. It just didn't happen. Now, people have cried. Do you hear what I'm saying? We have fasted. Both of them are good. We have done all kinds of things, but the Bible says, according to your faith. Not according to your fast. Now you better hear what I'm saying. What people do with fasting is they put themselves in a place where they can get their flesh out of the way and they can go ahead and believe. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now, don't be concerned if somebody around you don't want to hear what I'm talking about. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Don't be concerned, because God is about to do something to your life.
Yeah.
He ain't doing nothing to their life.
Yeah.
They're still in the process of evaluating me, which is a lost cause, because I'm still evaluating me. Okay, now here's the deal. Job, the Bible says that he finally came to it. He said, Lord, show me where I have erred. Yeah, yeah. Now let's go to Job chapter 42. Amen. We're going to take it easy. We're going to slow walk you down. We're going to make it so that you're going to get this thing today. Because God has something for you. And you can see what he has for you. And more, I'm telling you, when you can see it, you won't give up. You're going to say, hey, yeah, I'm going to hang in here until this money manifests here. Because this is... I can see this new car right now. I'm talking about paying cash. I'm not talking about pay Babylon. I'm talking about paying cash. That healing, boy, I can see that healing coming in my life. Ooh, I can see this marriage coming back together. I can see that man coming back to the house. I remember this lady one time, she came up. She said, Pastor, she said, my husband left. I think he would another woman. I said, do you want him back? She said, yes. You have to ask that question because sometimes they don't want it. I said, do you want it back? Yeah, I want it back. I said, okay. I said, how you want it? She said, I want him to come bring me some flowers. I said, now that's thinking, that's good. I like that. She just don't want him back. Want him back apologizing, bringing some flowers, repenting, saying how much he loves you or something. You know, make him, yeah. And so what happened? We prayed, and I guess he showed up. Now, he had flowers, but somewhere along the way, he lost his shoes. But she got him back. Say amen to that. Okay, now let's look at this Job. Yeah, somehow he was barefooted when he came, and I was trying to figure that out. Man, what's wrong with this boy? Okay, now, look at Job. Job chapter 42. Have you got it? Verse 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he did what? Prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job, come on, twice as much as he had before. Now, he restored Job, didn't he? But how much did he give Job? Twice as much. So it's telling me something here that when God restores us, he's not going to make it just like it was at the beginning. He's about to take you up. Come on, he's going to kick you up another level here. Are you following what I'm saying? Say amen to that. That's a Job now. Let's look at a couple other places. You ready? Let's go to Proverbs in chapter 6. Now, I think you've seen those one before, but let's just read it again. And we'll go through a couple of these because I want you to get the revelation of restoration. Look what it says here in Proverbs. What did I tell you? Proverbs chapter 6, all right? In Proverbs chapter 6, look what it says here in verse 30. Men, do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his soul when he's hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore. Come on, say restore. Sevenfold, and he shall give, come on, all the substance of his house. Now that doesn't sound like just enough, just as much as he stole. It sounds to me like somebody's getting more. Am I right about it? Come on back to 2 Kings chapter 5, please. 2 Kings chapter 5. Let me know when you get to 2 Kings and chapter 5. Glory to God. 2 Kings chapter 5. Now, verse 1. Now Naaman. Now, that's not Naaman. That's Naaman. Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable. Now, in my center column reference, it says he was lifted up high in competence and command because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. And he was also a mighty man in valor. But he had a problem. He was a leper. He had a disease in his body that he couldn't get rid of. There was no healing for it. There was no natural cure. Okay? Well, here he is. Kind of got it. Got him in a bad place here. He's a man, honorable, used to deliver a whole nation, and got leprosy. Now, he then, by the king, a maid told him, says, hey, there's a place he can get healed. Send him down to the man of God. And the man of God had to be Elijah. Send him down to the man of God. So they're going to send him down to the man of God. He sends him down there. And he comes down to the man of God. All right? And he goes, and at the man of God's house, there was a man of God's servant named Gehazi. Now, Gehazi would be the one that would receive anybody to come see the man of God, the prophet. And so here is Gehazi. And Gehazi said, yes, sir, what can we do for you? Now, this mighty man says, I'd like to see the prophet. I want to be healed. He said, just a moment, sir. Can I put this in my own words here? Goes back in there. Excuse me. Prophet, there's a man, looks like he's a commander. He came with an entourage, a great host of soldiers. He said he wants to see you, wants to be healed. Prophet, probably reading the Bible or maybe eating some fruit. Tell him to go wash in the River Jordan 7 times and dip 7 times in the River Jordan. Yes, sir. Excuse me, Commander. The prophet said, go and dip 7 times in Jordan. What? The prophet says, go dip 7 times in Jordan. You mean he's not going to come out to see me? I understand what this prophet could have done. This prophet could have come out, made friends with that man who got all his wealth and all that stuff. And got to, are you following what I'm saying? But he ain't in it for that. Because I want to show you in Jeremiah chapter 17 that they that trusteth in men will not, they don't receive the revelation of the word. So the enemy's job is to get you to try to come into a place where you don't trust God and believe God for anything. Why? Because the more you depend on the world, the less light you receive from the kingdom. Got it? Say amen here. Man of God, man is not his source. He comes down. I mean, the servant comes out, they say, go wash and pool. So the Syrian captain was enraged, turned his horse around, said, let's get out of here. Well, while he was riding away, a servant that was on the ground, probably walking barefooted, and start running alongside the horse. Excuse me, sir. If he had told you to do something great, would you not have done that? Well, and they thought about it. Turned the horse back around and went over to Jordan. And here he was, in the middle of this river, all his boys looking at him. Y'all with me? Now, I'm telling you something. There is an inheritance for you. But many times they have been blocked by you still depending on people or pride in your life that refuse to bow down to the Word of God and let the Word of God be your source. Say amen to that. So what does he do? He starts to dip. See, when you get desperate enough, you'll dip. Starts to dip. Now, dip how many times?
Seven
times. 6 times won't do it. I want to make sure everybody sees you dip. And he dipped the last time and came up. Now, when he came up, I'm still talking about restoration now. He came up. Look how he came up. Verse 14. Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like what? Unto the flesh of a who? A little child, and he was clean. Now this is interesting, because now God is restoring things in your life, not back to where it was the first time, but he's gonna make it seven times better. He's gonna make it so that you, as a 40-year-old, will have the heart of a 16-year-old. Come on now. I'm saying that if we can believe God, then we have no limits on what God is about to do. And I'm telling you, we are about to see miracles that have never been seen in this earth before. In meetings, people are going to be changed, literally. I'm saying in one meeting, praise the Lord. Now, are you with me? So now, seeing the invisible. Oh, somebody's got to see this. God can't do it unless somebody's seeing it. All right? Now, here's the problem. The problem is, many times we won't take God at his word, but we are still debating in our hearts and minds as to whether this is true or whether I should do this or whatever have you. Stop trying to analyze the word. You get the word, and once it is spoken, you believe what God has said and take it in your heart as truth and begin to meditate it. And as you do, the reality of that word becomes more real than the circumstances that you are involved in. Say amen to that. Amen. Let's go to Mark's gospel, chapter 10, please. I'm not gonna hold you long. I said that before, didn't I? But and I mean it. Are you with me? Mark chapter 4. Now, in this, remember, all the blessings that God has for you are already put in the kingdom, in the spirit realm, and are yours. You don't have to cry for them. You don't have to beg for them. That God's answer for you for those blessings is yes and amen. Now, for you to receive them, you're going to have revelation of them. Here's what he told. Abraham, get out of here, devil. Here's what he told Abraham. He said in Genesis chapter 13, he said after Lot was lifted up, glory to God. I feel myself rushing now. Let me just tell you all this. Can I finish telling you all this? Feel myself rushing. I don't like that. I got something for you. When I got something for you, the enemy tries to cut it off one way or the other, try to do something, and I ain't standing for that in Jesus' name. Verse 14 of Genesis chapter 13, here's what it says. If you don't want to turn that, it's all right. Let me just read it to you. The Lord said unto Abram, after Lot was separated from him, lift up now your eyes and look on the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. And all the land which you see, to thee will I give it and to thy seed forever. So until you can see it, your promises, then you're not entitled to get it. Until you can see your promises, you're not entitled to get it. Now, the idea about it is seeing means revelation. Seeing means light. Seeing means discerning. And until you can discern it, until you can see it, you're not entitled to get it. But God has made it so that you can see the invisible. We had been programmed into thinking that we cannot see something that is beyond our natural eyesight. But that is not true. God has made it so that you can see the invisible, even, Lord, especially your destiny. When you can see something and see it, it soon, if you keep meditating and thinking on it, it soon becomes bigger than what you can see with your natural eyesight. Are you with me? It soon, when, Lord have mercy. Can I just go where I want to go? Turn to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. Let me ask you a question. When they came from spying out the promised land, when they came from spying out the promised land, there were two reports. One of them said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Another one said, we be not able to go up against them, they are stronger than we are. Two reports. Those two reports are based on what they saw. One of them saw a problem. Another one saw a promise. And I'm saying that God has designed you like Him, that you can see what He sees. Hold on. 2 Kings chapter 6, I'm not going to read all of this. Syrian army coming, fighting against Israel. Every time they start fighting them, next thing you know, glory to God, they have problems. Israel knows which way they're coming and cuts them off. The king got mad about it. He said, there's a traitor in my camp. He said, not a traitor, king. What there is there's a prophet down there. And that prophet can see. And he knows what you're saying, even in your bedchamber. He said, go get it. So they sent the Syrian army by night, surrounded the city where the prophet was. There was no way out. Say, no way out.
No way out.
But the prophet there got up the next morning, and his servant went out to get something to drink, and he came and said, alas, master, what shall we do? What did he see? He saw the Syrian army surrounding him. When did they come there? At night. I said, they came at night. Now, the question is, did the prophet know that? Yeah, see, he who is spiritual. See, the devil, he's made it so. See, the devil has to stay in time for his system to work. Time is the normal progression by which people in this earth operate. But when you were born again, you were born outside of time. And the normal atmosphere for your operation is in that fourth dimension. So you can see things in time. So you can see what's going to happen before it happens. Oh, Lord have mercy. I'm talking about something now. Now, I'm not talking about some hocus pocus mess, some going going to some palm reader and them telling you, you're going to meet a man tall, dark, and handsome. I ain't talking about that. That's junk. That's the devil. That's evil. God told you don't have nothing to deal with it. That Ouija board, all that stuff, you better cut it up, get it out of that house. It'll release perverse spirits in your house. It'll release all that stuff. Get them tarot cards out of there. I'm talking to somebody. Get all them things out of there that's been dedicated to idols. Cut them up. Burn them up. Do something. Get them out of there, because they're causing hindrances in your life. They're keeping you from seeing what the devil is really doing and so forth. Get them out of there. Don't go to any of them palm readers. Don't call them phones, all that stuff. Don't do it anymore. Them psychic hotline, that is psychic, all right. Psychic means mental. The devil knows that he can get into your mind, but he can't get into your spirit. And what you need to do is be led by your spirit. Now, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is your teacher, and he will show you things to come. The thing, ain't nothing gonna slip up on you. It's not gonna slip up on your kids. It's not gonna slip up on your business. He'll tell you where to move your money to even before that bank fails over there. He'll tell you if you'll just listen to the Holy Ghost. If you'll just dip one time, get out of your pride of I'm a self-made man. There ain't no such thing as a self-made man. Either God made you or the devil made you. What you need to do is yield yourself to the Spirit of God. Let the light of the kingdom come through. You'll see what the devil is doing and then cancel his plan. Get out there and be ahead of him every time he runs. Boy, that came out of the hole. Elijah knew. He didn't put nothing on him. He knew they were coming by night. Why do they think he know where they're coming in the daytime and he won't know when they're coming at night? That is ignorance gone to seed. I'm telling you, if you'll settle down, what the enemy wants to do is keep you depending on yourself, depending on the arm of the flesh, depending on the world. Why? So you receive no light from the kingdom. Because the kingdom is broadcasting all the time. It's keeping you ahead of the game. It's making you see what your next step is. Say amen to that. Amen. It'll show you your destiny. Does this make sense to you? Boy, I'm preaching out of the Spirit right now. They that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And the whole earth is waiting for the manifestation of you. Why? Because they're behind the thing. They're trying to fight the natural with the natural. You can't fight the natural with the natural. You can't fix the natural with the natural. You got to come up to the supernatural to fix the natural. And you're the only ones that can get there. The problem with the world is the church. The church busy over here fighting about what carpet color it is instead of coming out here and getting along with God and getting that daily devotion and letting God speak to them in terms of their way, what they're going to do that morning and so forth. Every morning you should get up and command your day. Just don't get out and let it happen. Well, I pray the Lord. Sure hope the Lord's with me. Sure hope the Lord's with you. You can make that thing your way prosper. This business of just sleeping and getting up, you got to stop all that. Man. Come on, just at least get some scriptures and spend about 10 minutes just saying, just decreeing things. God, I thank you that every person that comes to me, there'll be no diabolical schemes. There'll be no, so you know, just decree things. And anybody with a scheme that comes to me will be cut off before he gets there. Just say that, and the angels will be following you all day long. Just follow you all day long. All right, now where do I have you right now? All right, I ain't got time for that. Okay, here's the deal, 2 Kings chapter 6. So what happened? He looks up, the servant sees nothing but Syrian army. Now the prophet says something. He said, fear not. Got it? Fear not. Fear comes when you trust in your own ability. Yeah. Yea, though I walk through the valley, watch this, of the shadow of death. What? Come on. I will fear no evil. Keep going. For God is with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thy rod. See, when you are God-minded, fear goes. Just lay in your bed at night and the enemy trying to put fear in your mind, and then start getting God on your mind. Watch fear leave. Fear connects you with Satan. Faith connects you, come on, with God. Okay, let me just finish this up now. Okay. That discernment was what Adam had at the first. So he could see this real world, the three-dimensional world, with his natural eyes. But he could see the spiritual world with his discernment. Now, he was more spirit than he was natural. So what I'm saying, you can confess the word of God enough until right in the middle of bad circumstances, you'll have joy. And you'll have joy because of what you see. Are you with me?
Hallelujah.
Y'all follow what I'm saying? I want to do something. The sister in the yellow right there. Come up here. Now, I don't know her. Here's $100 for you. Okay? Now, you can go back and sit down. Now, let me tell you something. Now, I'm gonna read her mail. Some of y'all got so many problems, you're not hardly listening to me. And if you just listen to me a little bit, that's how easy your prosperity will come. Just a little bit. I'm talking about something up here right now that it doesn't take much. He bless you right here. Just like he blessed her, he's ready to bless you right now. Matter of fact, no, okay, so, all right. Last place. 2 Kings, what happened? Elijah said, they're more with us than be with them. And what happened? He could discern it. Go into the New Testament, discernment. Let's go to last place, Mark chapter 10, please. Mark chapter 10. Let me know when you get there. Mark chapter 10. There have been enormous amounts stolen from Christians, and because Christians have not been operating in discernment. But those days are over, and what has been stolen is now about to be returned. Not just what we've been stolen, but several times more than has been stolen from us. Say amen. Amen. This stuff is coming back home. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Now, last place here. Glory to God, devil is a liar. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho, with the disciples, a great multitude of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side, he was begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Lord, have mercy. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus did what? Stood still. And commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good what? Comfort or cheer. Arise, he calleth for thee. And he, casting away his garment, arose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said to him, what wilt thou that I should do to thee? And the blind man said to him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. And immediately he received his sight. And what else? And followed Jesus in the way. Now, revelation is not enough. It's not enough. The blessings of the kingdom are first spiritual. And then as you, whatever you see, will be restored to you. And it's delivered to you practically. And faith must be in the mix, Lord, if I can just say it like that, to bring you what revelation has discovered for you. Faith is a spiritual force that acts through the mind. Got it? So the enemy tries to bring doubt and tries to keep you from walking in faith. Faith is your greatest spiritual asset. Just like if a man's heart fails, he dies. If your faith fails, your spiritual power dies. So faith is your greatest defense against Satan's assault and the thing that must be there to receive your inheritance. It is the only way to receive anything from God. So the real, as you read God's word, then faith comes. And as this faith comes, faith is designed, glory to God, to deliver to you what revelation has revealed. Oh, have mercy. I'm trying to make it so you will understand it. So in here, we've got to transfer some things into the church. But God is not transferring the wealth for Baal worshipers. See, he wants you to come under his authority. And I say that because when you are under his authority and God speaks, Lord have mercy, where's my paper here? Devil, you better get yourself out of here. When God speaks, we have to take God at his word. Now, Lord have mercy. The more revealed to you, the more restored to you. The less revealed to you, the less restored to you. A man came in here when we were in the Shea room, and he said, Pastor Winston, your airplane is in Ecclesiastes chapter 10. What do you think I did? I went to Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and looked. I didn't see no airplane. Looked again. I didn't see an airplane. Looked again. I didn't see an airplane. Then all of a sudden, my eyes were open. I discerned Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 20, a bird of the air shall carry his voice. Now, once I did that, I began to meditate that scripture. And once I start meditating that scripture, the scriptures start growing up inside of me. Lord, have mercy. I'm only saying is like the angels were there, but the prophet had trained himself in seeing. And this is the only way we are going to take over the authority in this earth. We're going to have to operate by discernment and by revelation. foundation for us to move forward past the devil who's trying to keep us in fear and in time. Stay with me now. So somebody wrote me a letter and said something about, I don't know where they got it from, but they said something about me politically. And I said, wait, you know, I just think about that. I said, now this person is not walking in truth. See, they're not walking in truth because they were saying some things and pro and con about the president or whatever have you. Now, wait a minute. What does the Bible say? Now, wait a minute. What does the Bible say here? See, once you get in that political battle, there ain't no way out of that. Whether you're a Republican, Democrat, or Independent, there ain't no way out of that. I'm above that. Now, you stay with me. Stay with me, because I don't know what side you're on, but remember, what the enemy brings is division, because division will keep you carnal. And if he can keep you carnal, you can't see. And as long as you can't see, you can't move. As long as you can't see, your inheritance will stay where it is. I'm saying you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So what does the Bible tell me about an elected official? What am I supposed to do for him? It says, first of all, this is before you pray for your mama. First of all, pray for those in authority. Did it say, first of all, criticize all them that are in authority? Because if they're blinded, because they're not walking in revelation knowledge. Listen, this is not about politics. This is about rulership. This is about the church taking its place as the rulers in this earth. Listen, folks, they made a law that Bibles will be out of schools. Now, who do you think was behind that? The devil was behind it. I can point out people all my life. That ain't gonna get you nowhere. Where is that gonna get you? You got to bring the devil to court. Yes, sir. You got to bring the devil to court. The Bible says that you've got to bring what does it say, baby? You've got to bring, she don't know. She knows, but I'm just saying she don't know right now. But you got to bring the enemy to court. Look what happened. When Adam sinned, here's what God came down and said. So wait a minute. Adam, where are you? Now he's talking about his headship because he's fallen. He said, now, who told you such and such? He said, the woman you gave me. That's who did it. See, notice you're putting it on God. The woman you gave me. And then God moved to the woman. So now who told you this? Now she's got some wisdom. Watch this. The serpent beguile me. Now God pronounced the curse. As long as you're pointing out people, wasn't no curse pronounced. Point them out and see if the curse will come. So point them out and see if God will defend you on that. You got to bring the devil to court, because that's who behind the people that's trying to mess you up. Say amen to that. See, God says love your enemies. Say amen to that. Are y'all with me? All right. Well, I guess we can make it. Some of y'all understand what I'm saying. I'm saying, wait a minute. Decree a thing. So, Father, I thank you that those who are in the positions of authority in this nation, they are making right decisions. I thank you that the heart of every leader is in your hand. And just like the streams are turned, you'll turn it whichever way you will. Amen. Father, I thank you that every one of them is filled with the Holy Ghost. I thank you that you are sending prophets to their offices. that you are giving them dreams at night that they cannot deny the rulership of this world, that this world is under God. Father, I thank you that, are you following what I'm saying? Other than that, you just become a part of the problem. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. I'm saying don't be accusing me, because I'm going to stay on God's side. Say amen to this. Now, every person, I guarantee you, every person, there's something in their life they need to fix. Every one of them. I heard that President Obama's still wrestling with cigarettes. Well, now, what are you going to do? Well, see, I know that. I know it. See, he ain't no cigarettes. See, that's what's wrong with him. See, no, you're supposed to pray for him. No, am I right now? Am I right? See, you get on politics, boy, you get some division there, especially in Chicago, man. I ain't never seen such a city that is just, boy, we gonna tear this thing down. I'm coming at this thing, man. I'm coming at it. All right, listen, I know I've got all off course, but that's all right. That's all right, I love you anyway. Okay. All right, let me draw this to a close. This is what I want to say, is that we're now having to operate in discernment, because if you just move by what you see, you're not going to go anywhere. Not with God, you're not. You got to be moved by what he says. And when he says something, you are under his authority, and you have to do and carry out what God has planned for you to do and carry out. Watch this. If you're going to be trained for reigning. You got what I'm saying? And I'm saying it's a lot of opinions out here, folks. Believe me. But here's what Jesus said. I judge no man by the flesh. Amen. I judge no man by the flesh. If Jesus can say that, I can say it too. If I judge some of these people by the flesh, I don't know what I'd come up with. I'd be wondering whether anybody in here liked me. You know, but I'm not going to judge it like that. You know why? Because I'm going to get my inheritance. And while they're still fighting by... And the government, the federal government is not my source. God is my source. And I'm going to work this word, and I'm going to get every dime that I need. Folks, I heard a man in Africa, his congregation, you'd be interested to know this, talking about his congregation, he said, you know, in 5 weeks, they raised $360 million. Watch this. He said, we have $2.2 billion worth of projects to still complete. This is a church. Isn't that something? Now, when that kind of man, when people say that, especially from a country like Africa, and he says he's never received a dime from the United States of America. Now, I'm only saying this to say, don't be judging me. Don't be judging me, because you don't know who I voted for. You don't know who I voted for. I don't care who's got in presidency. My job is I got to pray for them. Say amen to that. And so people try to analyze me and so forth. Don't do that, because you just get into some place where eventually you start criticizing me. And when you start criticizing me, you're going to be bumping up against God. You're going to be bumping up against God, because that ain't what God told you to do. And let me say something. I am kingdom. And my job is to establish justice and righteousness in this earth, and to do it now. You got what I'm saying? And that's where I am. That's my priority. And I'm not looking at people. I'm looking at God, and I'm saying God is my source. I'm not moved by people, not moved by what they think about me and so forth like that. And this political thing, we got to get off of this bandwagon, man. That thing doesn't take you anywhere but in division. That's for anybody. Now, I'm talking out of my soul. Now, I want you to hear my feelings on this. I'm not critical of people, because I got to get beyond that. I got to get beyond that, folks. I wasn't prejudiced. I was just hurt, because I was brought up in a place where I couldn't drink out of water fountains. I couldn't eat in certain restaurants. And they'd send me to a restaurant that had nothing but flies in it and garbage. And I was hurt. And it made me angry. And I had to get healed. I had to get healed, folks. So you weren't brought up in that, but I was brought up in it, folks. And I'm just saying, God delivered me. And I said, because He delivered me, He has given me a love for people. That's why I can go all over the world and hug people, because I love God's people. I just love them. All right. Let me just say this, and I'm done. I told you it might be 5 o'clock by the time you got out. Now, okay, here's the deal for you. This is for you. Please come to the meetings starting Wednesday, because in these meetings, we're going to build you up in a place where you can get ahead of whatever's been coming against you. And you can break out every time. You can have dominion in every area of your life. You'll see money that's been held up is going to slide into your hands. You're going to see opportunities that you never saw before, because your discernment is going to be heightened. It's going to be a good time for you. So please, I want you to come. And the internet, I want you to come too. Give the Lord a hand. That's all I have. All right. If we can just wait a minute, I can call for souls. They don't walk out anywhere but in America. They don't walk out in the nations. They respect the word too much. They don't walk out. If you're here and you need to be saved, I want to get you into a place where every struggle that you've had will disappear from your life. There is an inheritance that is yours that is designed to give you a lifestyle, literally, of the rich and famous. There is a way that God wants you to live that you'll never be sick another day in your life. There's a place where God can take you that all your worries will be behind you, that you won't have to worry anymore, and you won't have to be full of doubt and low self-esteem. If you're looking at a person that used to have all of that, you're looking for a person, you're looking at me. I was that way. That's all I did. All I did was try to do something to myself to help myself. That's why I told you about, I was listening to these people on TV talking about tattoos. And the man said, I noticed you don't have any tattoos. She said, you don't put a tattoo. You don't put a bumper sticker on a Bentley.
Amen.
Why would you put a tattoo on your body? Now, wait a minute. I'm saying the reason why we fell for that is because how we saw ourselves. You didn't see yourself like a Bentley. You saw yourself like an old beat-up Chevy. Now, I'm not saying Chevrolets are bad. I'm saying an old something that's not working right and so forth, and you're looking to try to better yourself. What you're trying to do is fix up the outside without fixing up the inside. That's all I'm going to say. Now, you got tattoos? Fine. Well, what you got to do? Thank the Lord that you're still saved. Thank Him that you got a new lease on life. I know a guy, and boy, I'm telling you, he was a motorcycle driver. And man, I'm telling you, he could bring that gospel and so forth. And he had tattoos. As far as I could see, he had tattoos. I mean, I didn't see any skin. All I saw was tattoos. But he could preach that gospel. Why? Because any man that's in Christ becomes a brand new preacher. So, my point to you, don't condemn yourself. Because all the things that happened in our past, let them just be past. Give yourself a new chance, a new lease on life. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at your own life and see where you are with God. Because if you're not in the right place, I want to pray with you right now. Now, understand, I just told you about me. I was an angry, young, short, black man. Very angry, very angry. Only God kept me out of some jail or anything like that. Only God kept me out because I was angry enough, because I'd fly off and I'd do something. But He took that out of me. He had to purge me of that. And He took it out of me. And not only that, took me now and put me in a place where I can love His people. And I tell you, it worked. Because I'm trying to figure out, why was I really that mad? I still can't figure it out. But nevertheless, whatever you got in you that God didn't plant, He's going to root that out. He's going to root that out. Now, wait a minute. You could have been selling drugs last night. You could have been prostituting last night. But once you come and give your life to Christ, the moment you do, that's over. All the records are clean, and you got a clean bill of health, and you're ready to go, and God's going to give you everything that He has for you, starting right now. So in my life, I saw it. The moment I got saved, healing came to my body supernaturally. The doctor said, you're going to have to live with this. This is something that came in your body. You're going to have to live with it. There is no cure. And the man of God laid hands on me the night, and when I got saved, and boom, the power of God hit my life and my body. And next thing I know, I went back to that doctor. He said, my God, this thing is cleared up. And I knew it's cleared up because Jesus healed me. The moment I got saved, I got all of my inheritance. I'm just saying, I don't know where you stand. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I do know one thing, that God will restore you, not back to where you were before, but even beyond where you were before. Everything that Satan messed up in your life, God is about to clean it up. So here's what I want you to do. Whoever is in this place listening to me now, whether it's by internet or in this place or in Denver or in Colorado Springs, wherever you are, I want to pray with you right now that the power of God will come on your life. You will be instantly changed, and everything God has for you will start coming to your life from this moment forward. Now, whoever's here and you know that you're not right with God, give me the privilege. I want to pray with you right now to bring you in to the blessing that God has for you. Here's what I want you to do. Take a step of faith for me. Get up out of your chair and come on up here and stand with me right here.